Australia is known around the world for its harsh and inhumane immigration policies. In Australia, any asylum seeker, refugee, entering the country is automatically detained. Detention in Australia means being locked up in large-scale prison-like centers for, in many cases, years. Refugees in Australia are treated like criminals. Last Easter, Woomera Detention Center in Australia made international headlines when the coordinated actions of the detainees within the detention center and supporters on the outside who had converged in the thousands to protest Australia's immigration policies and treatment of refugees brought down the walls of the detention center, freeing dozens of refugees. The actions at Woomera were an inspiration for people throughout the world. Due to public pressure, Woomera Detention Center was closed for its inhumane conditions. Once Woomera was closed, the Australian government, in keeping with its refugee policies, opened Baxter Detention Center. And from April 18th to 21st, again this Easter, hundreds of people converged on the outside of the center to protest Australia's immigration policies and the criminalization of immigrants and refugees worldwide. I spoke with Nick from No One Is Illegal Melbourne about the Baxter Detention Center convergence. Can you start by giving the broader context of the Baxter convergence? What was the mobilization about? How did it look like on the ground? What exactly happened?
Sure. Well, it more or less starts with the Woomera convergence, when we converged on the Woomera Detention Centre, which is in central South Australia. And just to put that in a bit of a context, that South Australia is our driest state. And so it's pretty much desert. It's completely dry. It's hot, 40 degrees during the day, 40 degrees Celsius. During that protest, we had quite a lot of contact, and a lot of the actions that we took were initiated by the detainees, the people inside the detention centre. And post that protest, there was an ongoing struggle from within the camps by the detainees against their incarceration, their continued harassment and beatings and systemic prosecution by the guards in the centres. And this led on to some of the detainees in the Baxter Detention Centre, which is our newest detention centre. It's a state-of-the-art detention centre, motion sensors, sort of night vision guard goggles, electric fences, the whole lot. The detainees in here put out a call to action for this Easter. So the call for this camp came from the people inside the centre. So this call went out, a number of groups have responded around the country, and a network was set up to form a convergence at Easter at the Baxter Detention Centre. So that's a bit of the background on how this got started. No One Is Illegal in Melbourne jumped on board straight away. They've sort of maintained pretty solid contact with the detainees on the inside and took on some of the stronger logistical aspects of the protest camp, mostly water and some of the food infrastructure. And we aimed to... It's quite an interesting situation in Port Augusta, which is the closest town to Baxter. It's maybe 10 kilometres from the Baxter Detention Centre. It only really has three industries. It's a prison, detention centre, and the electricity that provides for both the prison and the detention centre. And that's pretty much it. It also has a large, you'd have to call it almost like a reservation, where a lot of the Indigenous people live and have been kept there in a lot of ways. It's a heavily policed town. It has a curfew, one of the only towns in Australia that has a curfew at 11 p.m. It's a dry town, there's no drinking. So very early on, No One Is Illegal took on board working with prison advocates and a lot of the Indigenous mob in that area to broaden out the issues from just detainment, the internment of people seeking asylum in Australia, making the connections with the local Indigenous people and their dispossession, and also the people, the high incarceration rate in that town. So that's a bit of the context of the protest camp. The camp itself, we went out to a smaller group of people, sort of went out initially to Port Augusta the week beforehand and sort of got some hotel rooms and started scouting out locations and just keeping an eye on what the police were doing in that area. Because the South Australian police pulled a strong contingent of riot cops and what they call tactical response groups down here, which is equivalent to SWAT teams, I think. You have SWAT teams in Canada, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So there's the tactical response groups and also the mounted police. So there was about 500 to 600 police. They pulled out for this protest, as well as helicopters and night vision goggles and a few other sort of emergency road teams and stuff like that. So that was being scouted out the week beforehand. And then on the Good Friday, last Friday, 700 people converged in the middle of Port Augusta. at that point, we had a spokes council and decided on a number of, sort of picked between a number of options of camping options, with the aim being as close to camp as close to the centre as humanly possible. From there, we sort of moved to the centre. We moved on the western end of the centre and got to the roadblock and had a bit of a confrontation with the police just to move ourselves closer than the roadblock. So we breached the roadblock and camped about a kilometre and a half from the detention centre, which is about as close as we could get without having to force our way past cavalry. So when we were there, there was about 700 people. Pretty much, you know, we worked with the local Indigenous people to sort out how to avoid sort of in damaging sacred sites in that area where we couldn't go. And they brought up a sacred fire and did a smoking ceremony to sort of clear the air, clear the spirits for that camp. We just sort of established base sort of facilities and started a protest from there.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the call for this convergence, this protest, this action at Baxter Detention Center came from the detainees on the inside, and that the group that you work with, No One Is Illegal in Melbourne, has a relationship with people on the inside of the detention center. So can you perhaps give some idea of the conditions within Australia's detention center and the immigration policies which make these detention centers possible?
Okay, sure. The policy of mandatory detention, which is anyone who arrives onshore, which is there are three categories in Australian sort of Australian immigration law. There's sort of applications. There's offshore, which you'd go through some sort of refugee application process from, say, like a UN camp in Afghanistan or something like that, and onshore, which means you have arrived on a boat. And they're all legal categories, if you want to call them legal categories. In the early 90s, in 1992, I think, the Labor government here, which is nominally left but not really at all, decided on a policy of anyone who arrives onshore and applies for asylum is immediately interned in a detention centre. And these are usually, a number of these were set up in very remote locations, usually desert locations or on the coast, thousands of miles from anywhere. The detention centres themselves are usually quite like lacking in facilities. More often than not, the accommodation's in tin sheds. There's no sort of facilities for religious requirements or dietary needs or anything like that. They're very there's minimal, and there's no education facilities. There's minimal entertainment facilities and sport facilities, things like that. So the conditions inside them, at a very basic level, at sort of that what the structures themselves are like, are very stark. The Baxter Detention Centre that we were just at is far worse than some of the previous ones. I mean worse by all the, there's six compounds in the detention centre, all of them are separated by fences. So there's no moving from one compound to another. It's only in the last few months that facilities are set up for people to visit other people from other compounds, but you get removed to a separate room, there's constantly guards in that room, so it's to make contact with detainees, detainees to make contact with other detainees is really quite difficult. Mm-hmm. All of the actual dormitories that they sleep in have only got, there's no windows on the outside, there's only a central courtyard, so the only thing they can see from their compounds is the sky. It's all still completely lacking facilities. There's very minimal medical facilities. Pretty much the only sort of medicine that's given for, well, the only medical attention that's given for any ailment is a sort of an aspirin. That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Beatings are pretty regular. Strip searches are daily in some cases. Room searches are daily. Violence is quite systemic, and especially when it was run by ACM, which was Australian Correctional Management, but it was recently taken over by Group 4. The reports of the treatment by the guards of Group 4 are still quite horrific. There's a practice called getting your 1%, which is guards tend to refer to their time in their camps as 99% of the time it's really quiet, 1% of the time, you know, it's a bit of action. That means they get to beat the detainees, but Woomera had quite a reputation as guards getting more than their 1%, and Baxter, by all accounts, is a lot worse than that. So the conditions are quite harsh, just to say the least.
Can you speak about the efforts in describing the conditions that people are living in, asylum seekers from around the world who have come to Australia? It's a terrible reality. How are these conditions attempted to be justified by Australian government officials?
The Australian government lies blatantly about the conditions of the detention centres. Baxter was recently called a five-star facility by the Minister for Immigration Australia, who's also the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, apparently, Philip Ruddock. He called them five-star facilities. He tells people that they've got pools and table tennis tables and educational facilities, and everyone's happy and dancing all the time and whatnot. So, but all of the reports we get from within the detention centres contradict these to an amazing degree. But all the compounds are usually on federal land or military land, which means that the ability for people to film or record or do interviews in these facilities is heavily restricted to the point of it's impossible for the media to get in there. So no one can actually independently verify the conditions in the centres, apart from the detainees themselves, and they're not really allowed to make too much contact with the outside world.
Going back to the convergence that happened this weekend, can you speak about some of the networks that are emerging in Australia that are making that link between the detainees on the inside who are building resistance to these policies from direct experience, and also the growing movement, it seems, on the outside of people throughout Australia who are opposing these policies. So given this kind of network that's forming, can you speak about some of the events that happened on the ground during the Baxter convergence?
Sure. There's been a shift in some of the networks in Australia, especially some of the specifically anti-capitalist networks, towards, away from some of the general sort of protests, sort of, against organisations like the WTO, the IMF, the World Bank, and focusing more on specific political implications of globalisation, and one of those is the freedom of movement and the trying to move outside of that sort of framework of rights, but working with it for the dignity and freedom of people who have been either forced to move through imperialist wars or environmental damage or just through sheer need of poverty, and focusing on that as a manifestation of the globalisation, rampant capitalism. So there seems to be a bit of a shift in the general network, the anti-capitalist networks, towards focusing on sort of a specific outcome of global capitalism, and that being Australia's policy of mandatory detention, the internment of asylum seekers, calls for freedom of movement, calls for the abolition of the state, calls for no borders. So there's been a bit of a general shift in Australian politics, especially Australian anti-capitalist politics, in the last few years. How that manifested in specific actions during the Baxter convergence was everything from sort of colourful actions trying to get balloons or materials over the fence. Everything from noise and balloons over the fence to the detainees inside to make contact to pirate radio broadcasts. One of the things that NOE organised was a pirate radio broadcast into the centre and hooking up a phone relay so they could call out so we could establish two-way communication to attempts at breaching of the fence, both covert and overt breachings of the fence. None of the breachings of the fence were successful this time around, but given the degree of the military style of the policing out there, I think it was almost kind of inevitable that we wouldn't be able to facilitate or assist with the breakout of several of detainees this time around.
I guess just to finish up, there has been some mainstream media reports about what happened this weekend at Baxter. You are giving a very different version of the events. Often when we hear directly from those involved in these types of direct actions or efforts, the reports are quite different than the ones offered in the mainstream media. But what, from your view, did the people within Baxter, the detainees, what was their position on the convergence on the outside, and what were some of the reactions being in touch with people on the inside who are detained by Australia's government to this massive outpouring of support of people on the outside of the centre?
It's interesting. In Australia we get reports saying that the detainees didn't even know that we were there, that they were oblivious to our presence, which is contradicted by a number of other reports that the government's putting out themselves. After responding to the initial call that came from within the centre, and different people, a lot of people from No One's Illegal, went up every week for about 3 or 4 months, every weekend to visit the detainees. And so most of the detainees knew we were coming. We were very happy for us to come, and in fact wanted us to come and be there. They actually wanted us to come and protest. And from all of the compounds, we got exactly the same report. So as far as we knew in the lead-up to it, we were not only welcome, we were asked to come and we wanted to come. Over the weekend itself, we got a number of sort of SMSs and phone calls, and we recorded a number of these and put them on the radio and played them to the rest of the camp. So thank yous for coming, describing the conditions that they were under and sort of the extreme repression. Over that weekend, the police had put out 190 riot police inside the compounds as well as an extra 100 prison guards or concentration camp guards to maintain order. They'd put eight people they considered ringleaders into solitary confinement for the entire weekend. They'd cut off their phones. They've cut off a lot of contact from the outside world. But despite that, we managed to get a number of message outs sort of thanking people for protesting, saying that they could hear us and that whenever we yelled and made noise, they could hear us and they were yelling back and that they were struggling with us and that they were very happy for us to struggle with them to end the policy of military detention and to open up the borders for the freedom of movement of people. But the most telling report, I think, was that almost an entire compound, and this was released by the department's sort of own media resource unit, almost an entire compound was reported to have packed their bags and was ready to leave. Just expecting that we'd breach the fence and they were ready to go.
You've been listening to an interview with Nick from No One Is Legal in Melbourne, Australia, about the large-scale protests which took place at the Baxter Detention Centre from April 18th to 21st to protest Australia's inhumane treatment of detainees and the country's harsh immigration policies. To get more information on the Baxter Convergence and the No One Is Legal movement, visit www.melbourne.indymedia.org or www.baxter2003.baxterwatch.net. This report has been produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.